seated in the presence of our holy, holy, holy God. Thank you, band. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for holding down the fort last week. I was told he had you out of here within 8 minutes. Someone said 8 to 10 minutes, right? I'll see if I can beat that today. You like that, huh? So let's pull up today's scripture, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. If you have your Bibles with you, bring it up. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36 only. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed with white like lightning, tongue-tied here. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless and at the time told no one what they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. How great you are, O God. And we acknowledge your greatness with awe today. We acknowledge you as our great God, as our King of Kings, as our Lord of Lords, as our helper in our time of need, as the one who gives us strength and keeps us going. We acknowledge you, O God. We acknowledge you in the presence of all that is happening in our world. You are still a great God. We acknowledge you in this moment, O God, where your greatness is shown white like lightning in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior through your Son. Thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for those who have gathered with us in worship. Remove everything and anything that hinders us from hearing from you. Thank you for your grace and your love. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. I don't know why I love that song so much, "How Great is Our God." It's so simple, right? But it's so meaningful and so deep. It just resonates with me every time we sing it. And I'll be singing it all week, probably like the rest of you. But on this last Sunday before Lent, we find ourselves once again witnessing a hinge moment in Jesus' ministry. This Lenten season, beginning this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, where for 40 days we will embody a time of self-reflection, repentance, and intentionally focus on our relationship with God. This Lukean passage is filled with drama and power. The disciples, Peter, John, and James, are feeling woozy and are practically falling asleep. Or maybe, just maybe, they're tired from all the ministry they've been doing with Jesus. That's just my opinion, of course. We're being led into this unmistakable journey with Jesus to the cross. Saints, this journey is a little like mountain climbing. Has anyone in here ever been mountain climbing? Oh, really? 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 Wow. Okay. It's slow, it's consistent, and it's steady. Amen? It's a little like our faith. Slow, consistent, and steady. See, as we end this season of Epiphany, this revelation of who God is in Jesus Christ, today our passage takes us on a mountaintop experience and a foreshadow of what is to come. I have to admit that I am a little bit afraid of heights. Anyone else in here afraid of heights? There's probably more people. So the person who climbed a mountain right here is also afraid of heights. Okay, so I realize I am not alone. I've been asked to go rappelling, and I said no, because once you go down, you've got to go back up. I've climbed a small mountain. It was really a very large, very rocky hill in New Mexico. Was I looking for aliens? I will never tell. But I will say this, I was more aware of the beware of the rattlesnake signs than of the mountain itself. But for 2 years during Lent, I led a mission team to Honduras. And every day we would climb on top of this water tower. Water tower. We would have a time of devotion and sit in awe of God. The first time I led the team, we arrived on Transfiguration Sunday, and we read this passage on top of this tower. And we looked across the hills of Honduras, and we prayed to God. Was I afraid? Yes. But I was in awe of our great God. And I was more afraid of going down than I was going up. Our text today is a reminder from Jesus of the significance to take advantage of the opportunity to pray as we go with God. He went to the top of the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, his face changed. We begin this journey on one mountain, catching a glimpse of Jesus in his glory. And at the end, we will climb Mount Calvary to witness Jesus suffer for the world. To be honest, saints, the thought of climbing, rock climbing, lighthouse climbing, water tower climbing, anything that steadily moves up, going higher and higher, can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But most importantly, as we see from Jesus, when bathed in a whole lot of prayer, is achievable. Our gospel lesson closely follows Peter's great confession, where he says in verse 20b, "You are the Messiah of Christ, our God." But on this mountaintop, we see the glory of God. We see the possibilities. We see salvation because we know. We see the future. We see the vision. And in the background, we see the other mountain, Mount Calvary, to which Jesus will climb as well. When the two men, Elijah and Moses, speak of Jesus' departure, which he will achieve in Jerusalem, upon hearing this story, first century listeners familiar with the scripture narratives would have instantly come to full attention, recognizing the references to the ancestors, the Exodus story, and the liberation of setting people free. Remember, Jesus recalled the Isaiah passage reminding his hometown that he came to what set the captives free. We are told this over and over and over again. Jesus comes to liberate. The first century hearers would have recalled the stories from the lives of Moses and Elijah on Mount Horeb and on Mount Sinai, where God's powerful presence showed up in a life-transforming way. So I want to linger at the mountain and in prayer for a moment. I want us to also be in awe of the power of this great God that we praise. Jesus bathed first in prayer before he did anything else. Luke emphasizes Jesus' practice of prayer before every significant event. Prayer is what strengthens us, empowers us to climb mountains that we could not otherwise ascend. Prayer is the associated action of the words in which we speak out loud and internally to God. Prayer is our responsibility as the body of Christ. Prayer liberates the oppressed, empowers us to preach the good news, and to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Everyone say prayer. In this very active gospel, Jesus prayed. And I want you to hear for a moment a few of the other prayerful hinge moments that we will find in Luke, those that have passed and those that are to come. You remember in Luke 3:21, Jesus was praying after his baptism and heard similar words as they did on the Mount of Transfiguration. "You are my son in whom I am well pleased." Remember Mary telling the servants when Jesus turned water to wine to listen to him and do what he tells you on the Mount of Transfiguration. They are also told by Elijah and Moses, "Listen to him. In Luke 5:16, it tells us Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In Luke 6:12, Jesus went to the mountainside and prayed. In Luke 9:18, right before where we are this day, Jesus was praying in private and asked his disciples, "Who do they say that I am?" And as we journey to the cross, we will hear in Luke 22:32, Jesus tells Simon, "I have prayed that your faith will not fail." And in verse 44, Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. Remember the very well-known movement, "What would Jesus do?" Well, saints, Jesus would pray. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talks about facing the world with divine dissatisfaction. See, as the church, when we are divinely dissatisfied, we cannot be neutral in moments of injustice. We seek to bring about change when we are divinely dissatisfied. We seek to be empowered to have strength that translates into collective action because our mission is still clear: to liberate the oppressed. But we don't want to talk about that. But when we are in Christ, certain liberties, certain freedoms are lived out. The freedom to love our enemies, that is a freedom. The freedom to forgive the unforgivable, that is a freedom. The freedom to look to the transfiguration as good news and to seek glimpses of glory every day to sustain us and those around us as we walk with Jesus. Setting our own faces toward Jerusalem. One theologian writes, "Even today, the church seems less comfortable claiming the miracle of the transfiguration than it does other events in Jesus' life." I believe, and this is only my humble opinion, that when we claim the moment of transfiguration, the moment of glory, the moment of kavod, this Old Testament expression of the weighty, intensely bright, majestic presence of the awe-inspiring God, that we too will be transformed. The moment we acknowledge this power, we too are strengthened. Strengthened for all that awaits us. There is power in prayer. So, saints, if there is one thing that we can do to be more Christ-like, that is to pray. So I leave you with these probing questions. Took me over 8 minutes to get here. What do you expect when you pray? What do you expect? Nothing. What is revealed to you when you pray. What experiences do you have when you pray? And how willing are you to go deeper in your prayer life? We hear all the time that prayer changes things. But on this Transfiguration Sunday, on top of this mountain, as Jesus sets his eyes on Jerusalem, we witness the disciples see the glory of God. Do you want to see God's glory? Pray. I have not revealed this, but prayer, particularly through the Psalms, has sustained me in the toughest times in my life. If you are going to pray, pray the Scriptures. If you're going to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. If you're going to pray, pray with one another. If you're going to pray and you don't know how, pray that God will show you and reveal to you how to pray in His name, in God's name. Prayer is the foundation of everything that we do. Jesus shows us this as the first thing he does is he sets his eyes on Jerusalem. So Pastor Josh mentioned about having more of Jesus during Lent. Have more of Jesus in prayer during Lent. How great is our God.